Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
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 Jaya Taita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Taita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Taita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Prabhu kahe eho bhaya age kaha are Raya kahe Krishna kalmarpana sarva satya sare Translation. The Lord replied, "This is external. You had better tell me of some other means." Ramananda replied, "To offer the results of one's activities to Krishna is the essence of all perfection." Text 60. Yat karoshi yat ashnasi yat jahasi dadasya
yat
karoshi yat ashnasi yat jahasi dadasya
yat tapasasi kunteya
yat tapasasi kunteya
tat kruswa mad arpanam
tat kruswa mad arpanam
yat karoshi yat ashnasi
yat karoshi yat ashnasi
yat jahasi dadasya
yat jahasi dadasya
yat tapasasi kunteya
yat tapasasi kunteya
tat kruswa mad arpanam
tat kruswa mad arpanam
Yat karoshi yat ashnasi
Yat karoshi yat ashnasi
Yat chohoshi tadashi yat
Yat chohoshi tadashi yat
Yat tapasyasi kunteya
Yat tapasyasi kunteya
Tat kuroshva madapanam
Tat kuroshva madapanam
Yat karoshi yat ashnasi
Yat karoshi yat ashnasi
Yat juhosi dadasi yat
Yat juhosi dadasi yat
Yat tapasyasi kaunteya
Yat tapasyasi kaunteya
Tat kuruśva madarpanam
Tat kuruśva madarpanam
Yat karoshi yat ashnasi
Yat karoshi yat ashnasi
Yat juhosi dadasi yat
Yat juhosi dadasi yat
Tat tapasyasi kaunteya
Yat tapasyasi kaunteya
Tat kuruśva madarpanam
Tat kuruśva madarpanam
Yat karoshi yat ashnasi
Yat karoshi yat ashnasi
Yat
juhosi dadasi yat
Yat
tapasyasi kaunteya
Tat kuruśva madarpanam
Yat karoshi yat ashnasi
Yat
juhosi dadasi yat Yat tapasyasi kaunteya Tat kuruśva madarpanam Yat karoshi yat ashnasi
Yat
juhosi dadasi yat
Yat tapasyasi kaunteya
Tat kuruśva madarpanam
Yat
whatever
karoshi
karoshi
you do yat
yeah.
whatever ashnasi
you eat
yat
Yes.
Whatever. Jehosi. You offer in sacrifice.
Tadasi.
You give in charity. Yat.
Whatever.
Yat.
Whatever.
Tapasyasi. You perform as austerity.
You perform as austerity.
Kunteya. O son of Kunti.
Tat.
That. Kurosa.
Just do.
Mat.
Unto me.
Arpanam. Offering. translation. Ramananda Roy continued, "My dear son of Kunti, whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer in sacrifice, whatever you give in charity, and whatever austerities you perform, all the results of such activities should be offered to me, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Tepo, the Lord has said that the Vinashan Dharma is not properly executed in this age of Kali. Therefore, he ordered Ramananda Roy to go further into the matter. Ramananda replied with this verse from the Bhagavad Gita, 9.27, which instructs that while remaining in the system of Vinashan Dharma, one may offer the results of his activities to Lord Sri Krishna in loving service. Naturally, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was asking Ramananda Roy about the execution of devotional service. Ramananda Roy first enunciated the principle of Vinashan Dharma in consideration of materialistic people. However, this conception is not transcendental. As long as one is in the material world, he must follow the principles of Vinashan Dharma. But devotional service is transcendental. The system of Vinashan Dharma refers to the three modes of material nature. But transcendental devotional service is on the absolute platform. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu belongs to the spiritual world, and his methods for propagating the Sankirtan movement are also imported from the spiritual world. Sri Narottam Das Thakur has sung, Goloka Prema Dan Harinam Sankirtan Rati Na Janmula Ginatay. This states that the Sankirtan movement has nothing to do with this material world. It is imported from the spiritual world, Goloka Vrindavan. Narottam Das Thakur laments that Mandeva people do not take the Sankirtan movement seriously. Considering the position of devotional service in the Sankirtan movement, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu deemed the system of Vinashan Dharma to be material, although it aims at elevation to the spiritual platform. However, the Sankirtan movement can raise one immediately to the spiritual platform. Consequently, it is said that the Vinashan Dharma is external. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu requested Ramananda Roy to proceed deeper into the matter and uncover the spiritual platform. Sometimes materialists consider Lord Vishnu a material conception. Impersonalists think that above Lord Vishnu is the impersonal Brahman. The impersonalists misunderstand the worship of Lord Vishnu. They worship Lord Vishnu to merge into his body. In order that Vishnu Aradhana not be misunderstood, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu requested that Sri Ramananda Roy proceed further and clear up the issue. Ramananda Roy quoted the verse from the Bhagavad Gita stating that the results of one's occupational duty may be offered to Lord Vishnu or Krishna. In Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.8, it is also said, Dharma svansita pamsa vishvaksena pitashriya na padaye yadiradhin shama eva haikavalam. If one executes the occupational duties of a Vinashan Dharma but does not cultivate his dormant Krishna consciousness, his activities are futile. His occupation simply becomes unnecessary labor. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya. Om agyanam timirandasya agyanam jana shalakaya chakshurum malitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya mano diskam stapitam yena bhutale swayam rupa kadamayam tatati svapatantikam vandeham shri guru shri tapadakamalam shri guru vaishnavam shtha Shri Rupam Sahagajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Tantam Sujivam Sadvetam Sahagadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Adam Sahagana Radha Shri Visakam Tantam Shri Hey Krishna Raghunam Suru Vrindam Vrindam Jagatide Kopesha Dokita Kanta Radha Kanta Namaste Tata Kanchana Kodrangi Radha Vrindavan Vishabhanam Sudevi Pranamani Hari Priyam Pancha Garbha Triyodishta Kipa Sindhu Kya Jucha Padita Naam Padani Kho Vishma Vedyo Namo Maha Namo Om Vishma Padaya Krishna Pashaya Bhutale Shrimat Bhakti Vrante Swami Matinama Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pachadine Nirvashesha Sanyavadi Pashtatari Sitarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadi Guru
Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare
Ramananda Roy continued, "My dear son of Kunti, whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer in sacrifice, whatever you give in charity, and whatever austerities you perform, all the results of such activities should be offered to me, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead." Okay, so in this section, what we're seeing is a dialogue, a conversation between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Roy. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has asked the question, what is the ultimate goal of life? And so Ramananda Roy is giving different answers. This is kind of, in one sense, the beginning of the conversation. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is, through this conversation, he's prompting Ramananda Roy to go further, to go deeper. And so what we see here is that Ramananda Roy has presented Vanashram Dharma. And in these particular verses, we see Vanashram Dharma being spoken about, and Prabhupada elaborating in the purport. Today we don't live in a society that's governed by the principles of Vanashram Dharma. We live in a democratic society. Prabhupada mentions in one place that why people abandoned Vanashram was because of, he said it was a reaction to corrupt kings. The monarchy, we have a queen, and we have a prince, and you know, there's the royal wedding that's coming, which is in everyone's eyes at the moment, on everyone's mind. Not in the temple, but outside the temple, I suppose. Hope not in the temple. But the monarchy is somewhat dysfunctional now. Some time ago, we were some senior devotees and we went for a tour of parliament. And in fact now, and this was tradition that the queen or the king would make a speech to the cabinet, to the ministers. And the queen makes a speech every year, but the speech is written out by the prime minister. And she has to say exactly what the prime minister has written on that piece of paper. So she doesn't, the monarchy doesn't play that exact role. Now it's more of a, it's kind of a symbol of Britain as opposed to anything else. But traditionally the monarchy would rule the society. But because kings and monarchs were corrupted, society abandoned this system of social order. And now what we see presently is an apparent democratic society. Prabhupada called democracy, he said it's demon crazy, actually. So we can understand from that statement that Prabhupada wasn't so in favour of the current social system. And the main problem Prabhupada had with this was that the majority of people are materialistic. And if you have a voting system, then generally if the majority of people are materialistic, then they're going to vote for someone who's going to fulfill their materialistic desires. It's also based on a false understanding, that understanding is that materially speaking, we're equal. We understand from the Shastras that spiritually we're all equal. We're all spiritual beings. But we all come with our conditionings into this material world. And so we have different natures, different tendencies, different propensities. And so Krishna has created a social system that addresses that aspect. Vanashram is not a system that's created by any imperfect individual. It's a system that's given by Krishna. In the Bhagavad Gita, he says, "Chaturvanyam maya shishtam, guna karma vibhagasha." He explains that this system of varna and ashram, the varna refers to the four occupational duties and the ashram refers to the four spiritual orders. This is a system that has been created by Krishna. And he says that the system is based on two things. Anyone know what those two things are?
Vanashram system.
Yeah, where you fit into the Vanashram system is based on two principles. Guna and karma. Chaturvanyam maya shastram. Guna, karma. And guna means qualities, the qualities that someone possesses. And karma refers to the activity that someone performs. But basically these two principles are referring to your nature. And the nature that you have is determined by the activities that you performed in your previous life. But through cultivation and training, one can also change his nature or her nature. Unfortunately, now in today's society, especially in India, what you have sometimes is a very corrupt form of anashin. It's often referred to as the caste system. And the position that you hold is a right based on your birth, janma. So if you're born into a Brahmin family, regardless of whether you have the qualities of a Brahmana, you're considered Brahminic. But we see that this is actually not based on Shastra, because Krishna clearly says that it has to be based on guna and karma. So there's four varnas, and specifically I wanted to focus on that. There's the Brahmanas, there's the Kshatriyas, the Devaishas, and the Shudras. And in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna describes the nature of each of these individuals. The Brahmins are described as the intellectuals. They're dedicated specifically to wisdom. Krishna says, Shama, Dhamma, Dabaso, Jam. Shama means that they're very peaceful. Dhamma means that they're self-controlled. They have control over their mind and senses. Dapa, they perform austerities. So Jam, that they're clean, that they're pure. And then he says, Shantir Ajavam Evacha. He says that they're very tolerant, Shantir. That they're Ajavam, they're honest. A Brahmana will not speak a lie. Gyanam, Vidyanam, Astikyam. Mm-hmm. That they're very learned, that they have lots of wisdom. Astikyam, that they're religious. Brahma Karma Swabhavajam. So basically, a Brahmana possesses these qualities. So Krishna gives very objective qualities so that we can identify who is fit to play the role of a Brahmin. Shri Radha Mandala Swagati Jai, Shri Jagannath Prabhu Jai, Shri Gauri Tari Ki Jai, Shri Gopitam Ki Jai. So in this way, Krishna enunciates the qualities of a Brahmana. And the Brahmanas were considered the head of society. They were considered by how a society should govern itself was determined by the Brahmanas. And the Brahmanas had a very close relationship with Shastra. And in Shastra, Krishna outlines how society should be governed. So this connection was there. And generally the Brahmanas, they would give guidance to the kings, who would be involved in the administration side of society. But the Brahmanas would also make it a point to live very simply. Like generally when you hear stories about Brahmanas, even though that they were very close to the king, and practically speaking the kings would give them whatever they wanted, yet still that they chose to remain in poverty. And this was to protect themselves from being corrupted by power and opulence. So this is the position of Brahmanas. Next you have Kshatriyas. And Kshatriyas, they would govern society, they would administer society. They'd be in charge of administration in regards to social functions. And in the Bhagavad Gita, so Krishna outlines the qualities of the Kshatriyas. Shuryam, Dejo, Diti, Dyaksham. So the first statement is that they were very heroic, very courageous. And the next line it says, Yudhi, Chapi, Abalayam, that they were very brave and they were not fearful if they had to go to battle. Prabhupada states during the time of the Vietnam War that America, they were sending people that were not qualified to participate in war. They didn't have Kshatriya qualities. But yet still that they were put in that position by force. And he was outlining this is wrong. In fact, in the Bhagavad Gita it's described that Kshatriyas, they relish the opportunity to fight more. It's like a sportsman, you know, a sportsman will train for years. And then when it comes to, say, like the Olympic Games, it's his time to perform. It's the same for a kshatriya. And a kshatriya was convinced that if he died, he would go to the heavens because he was performing his duty as a kshatriya. He says that Deja are very powerful. Diti, determined. Dyaksham, which means basically very resourceful. These are the qualities of a kshatriya. Dhanam, Ishvara, Bhavascha. Dhanam means that they are very charitable. Generally you hear about stories how kshatriyas, when a brahmana comes, that they will offer charity. Ishvara Bhavascha. Ishvara means, what does Ishvara mean?
Controller.
Controller. So they have this controlling bhav. They have this nature to control. Prabhupada translates it as their natural leaders. So they use this controlling propensity to lead others. So these are the qualities of a kshatriya. And they would be under the Brahmins. And the kshatriyas, they would control the Vaishyas. And the Vaishyas needed to be controlled, actually. Because the Vaishyas are involved in certain qualities. In the Bhagavad it says, Sri Goraksha Vanigyam. So Sri means they're farmers. There's different types of Vaishyas. Farmers, Goraksha, which means the protection of cows, and Vanigyam, which means basically a trade. So the Vaishyas by nature, they would know how to make money. And they could make money in any circumstance, or they could create wealth in any circumstance. And even still today, you have Vaishyas that know how to make money. Generally, they're responsible for big corporations. But the Kshatriyas would take care to control the Vaishyas. Because sometimes the Vaishyas can be overcome by greed. And in that, it can lead to exploitation, as we see in the world today. And so the Kshatriyas would keep an eye on the Vaishyas, and they would even tax the Vaishyas. And so the money that they received from the tax, based on what the Brahmanas had given as guidance, they would govern society and use that finance to assist and for the welfare of society. So this was the relationship. Nowadays you have a society, it's interesting because Prabhupada said that these vinas are still present today. You have intellectuals, you have those that govern, manage, you have those that are business minded. But now the Vanashram system is very corrupt. And what you tend to see today is that instead of the Brahmanas being the head, what you have is Vaishyas controlling society. Hence, if you have money, you have power. But in the Vanashram system, things were much different. That those that dedicate themselves to wisdom, that live simply, that live according to religious principles, they set the benchmark. They gave direction to society as a whole. And the Shudras, they were seen to assist these three other varnas. So this was the traditional Vanashram system in essence. Here we see in this conversation that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is rejecting this. He's describing it as external. And it's interesting because Ramananda Roy quotes a verse from the Vishnu Purana. I'll just read the translation. He says, "The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, is worshipped by the proper execution of prescribed duties in the system of Varna and Ashram. There is no other way to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One must be situated in the institution of the four Varnas and Ashrams." So it's quite in Shastra. And we see many times when Ashram is spoken about in Shastra. But here we see that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is rejecting it. So sometimes this can appear a little confusing. And we see also there's many occasions where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he in one sense transgresses the ordinary Vanashram system. Because in the ordinary Vanashram system there were certain rules. And generally the different varnas would not mix. But we see, even in this past time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is speaking to who? Who's he speaking to? Ramana Roy. And according to Varna, what Varna is he situated in? He's a Shudra. And so when the Brahmanas saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Roy conversing, they're very much disturbed, because they explained how this sannyasi, he's so effulgent, he appears as if the sun has descended, and yet he's speaking to this ordinary Shudra. So they were very confused by it. And in fact, it's described how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had to kind of had to hold back all his emotions when he saw Ramananda Roy. We also see how he made Haridas Thakur, who's not even in the Varnashram system, he was considered an outcast because he was born in a Malecha family. He made him Namacharya. So from the perspective of ordinary Varnashram, these actions by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were considered very controversial. But at the same time, we also see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he followed the Varnashram system very rigidly on many occasions. As a sannyasi in that ashram, there are certain rules and regulations that one has to follow. And we see on many occasions Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very strict when it came to following and setting the right example as a sannyasi. So sometimes it can appear a little confusing. And to kind of go deeper into this issue, I wanted to explore the topic of dharma. Because Varnashram is described in many ways as dharma. It's said that it's swadharma. It's dharma born of one's own nature. Dharma is something that we all have to dedicate ourselves to and commit ourselves to. It's described in one text, Ahara nitra bhyamatunyam cha simanyamita parshubir nananam dharma hitesha madiko vishesho dhammenaha hitesha. It's described that there are four activities that are common to both humans and animals. The first is ahara. Anyone know what ahara means?
Eating.
So it's described that we eat and animals eat. The principle is the same. We may do it in a more sophisticated fashion. Ahara nidra.
Sleeping.
Maitunya.
Mating.
And pyai. Defending. So these are four principles, I'm sure you've heard many examples of this, that are common to both animals and humans. But dharma hitesham adhiko vishesho, that the distinction between a human being and an animal is this practice of dharma. So this is, according to Shastra, this is the essential difference. But dharma can be sometimes a little unclear. Like there's one story of one person I called Vachaspita Mishra. He was a sannyasi disciple of Shankaracharya. And as a sannyasi, he was generally very strict. And he followed his sannyasa ashram very strictly. During the Chaturmasya period, there's 1 month, at least this is how I've heard it, 1 month where during that time, no one eats bringal. Bringal is, I think, aubergine. Is aubergine. So you abstain from eating that vegetable during that month. Now, this sannyasi, he had a brahmachari servant, and he told this brahmachari servant to cook him a sabji made of bringal during that month. So one old lady was observing this whole scene, and seeing this, she became disturbed. And so she plucked up some courage and she approached him and said, "You're a sannyasi, you're meant to be setting the example for all others, and you're supposed to adhere to the principles of dharma. So why is it that you're breaking this principle in Chaturmasya?" So he didn't respond by directly answering the question. He said to her, "Where does the sun rise?" And so she was, it's an easy answer, the sun rises in the east. And he said, "No, you're wrong." He said that wherever the sun rises is east. So if the sun rises in the north, then that's considered east. If the sun rises in the west, that's considered east. And so in the same way, he said that whatever I do whatever us sannyasis do, that is dharma. Whatever we say, whatever actions we perform, that is dharma. Now, some people actually think this, and there are traditions or so-called traditions that believe this. But in the shastras, it explained dharma to shakshat bhagata pranitam, that what Krishna says is dharma. The statements that Krishna makes is actually dharma. And in that statement, he says that rishis, demigods, asuras, none of these personalities can say what is dharma. Dharma is a creation of myself. But even in Shastra, we see that Krishna will use dharma in different ways. Like you have the four purusharthas, which are, anyone know what the four purusharthas are? Dharma, artha, karma, and moksha. So in that context, dharma is referring to karmakanda activities. So when we perform karmakanda activities, we get artha. We gain some benediction, some material benediction. And from that material benediction, we get karma, which is sense gratification. So sometimes when Krishna refers to dharma in the Vedic text, he's referring to the karmakanda rituals. And this is a path for certain individuals. Karmakanda rituals are there for those that still have this strong propensity to enjoy materially. And so what Krishna does, he outlines a path by which you can fulfill your material desires in a religious way. But this is obviously not the highest standard of spiritual practice. In fact, the example is given of in the 11th canto of medicine. When you try and administer medicine to a child, if the medicine is bitter, the child may not take it. But so what the parents sometimes do is they coat the bitter medicine in some sweet, so then the child will take. So in the same way, Krishna, Vyasadev, are very keen for the masses to engage in some sort of spiritual practice. So seeing that the vast majority have this strong propensity to materially enjoy, they present these karmakanda rituals. And so what happens is when one performs or engages in these karmakanda rituals, one eventually comes to understand the real truth. See, someone will engage in karmakanda rituals, they receive some material benediction. They may even go to the heavens. But over time they'll realize that even these things, even though they obtain these things, even though their desires are fulfilled, they're still not satisfied and happy. See, they'll go to the heavens. But if you hear about the pastimes of the people of the individuals in the heavens, you'll see that there's still problems. Like you see how occasionally demons will try and attack Indra and Ko and try and overtake the heavens. Or, you know, heavens is still an impermanent place, so there's still death. So in this way, someone who practices the path of karmakanda, he'll come to the conclusion that there must be something more. And that's where moksha comes in. And that's the next natural step. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says to Arjuna that yam imam pushpitam vacham. He explains that to Arjuna, that do not be bewildered by the flowery language of the Vedas. And what he's referring to is the karmakanda rituals. Because the karmakanda rituals will say that if you perform this type of worship to this demigod, you'll get this benediction. And he's explaining this specifically to Arjuna because he's saying, Arjuna, this is not for you. This is for the demoniac. This is for those that, you know, it's either two choices. Either I practice religion, I get some material benediction, or I'm not going to practice any type of religion. It's for that type of person. He said, it's not for you, Arjuna. But it's there, and it's a part of the Veda. But generally speaking, someone who performs the or practices the karmakanda path will eventually come to the platform of wanting to aspire for moksha, wanting to attain liberation, liberation from this cycle of birth and death. But generally that path is leads to an impersonalistic understanding of the absolute truth. And we understand that attaining the position of Brahman is not a permanent position. Prabhupada gives the example, even if one attains Brahman, one falls down from that position. He often refers to how those that embark on the impersonalistic path, they renounce the world for some time, but then again, because by nature they have to engage in some activity, they come back into the world and engage in philanthropic welfare activities. He also gives in another place the example of Sputnik. He gives the example how if Sputnik is sent out into space, the satellite, it has to land somewhere. If it doesn't land anywhere, then it comes back to Earth. So in the same way, those that embark on the path of Gyan, because they're not fully satisfied, they again descend to this material world. So these are different ways that Krishna describes Dharma. Now the Bhagavad Gita is considered the summary of the Vedas. And in the Bhagavad Gita you see that these paths are mentioned. The path of karma, Kama Yoga is chapters 1 to 6. Jnana Yoga is described as chapters 13 to 18. And Bhakti Yoga is described as the central text of the chapters. And in the conclusion of the Bhagavad Gita, we see what Krishna is outlining as what is actually Dharma. He says, Sarva Dharma Parityaja Mamekam Sharanam Naja Aham Tvam Sarva Bhavibhavya Muksha Isami Masiche. So what Krishna says to Arjuna very clearly is, you should abandon all varieties of Dharma, of so-called religion, that are presented in the Vedas, and you should surrender to me. And in that context, what we see is Krishna is explaining what is the essence of Dharma. He also makes the same point in the Srimad Bhagavatam. He says, Savai pumsa paro dharma yato bhaktir dokchaje mahatikya bhaktirta yanatma supasidati. He said, Savai pumsa paro dharma. So he's explaining paro dharma. What is the supreme dharma? Yanatma supasidati, that which satisfies the self. So he's explaining that devotional service to me, which is free from any motivation and is uninterrupted, that is the supreme dharma. So in this way Krishna is putting real dharma in perspective. So he clarifies dharma. Even we see that Vyasadeva, he compiled the entire Vedic scriptures. But even after compiling the entire Vedic scriptures, he's feeling dissatisfied. And Narada Muni, he comes to him and explains, the reason you're feeling dissatisfied is because you haven't spoken about this Varodharma, this supreme dharma. Narada Muni makes the point that the problem is that people have the propensity to enjoy it anyway, but now in the name of religion, people are going to enjoy it. And so he said that basically he made a mistake. And as a result, he writes the Srimad Bhagavatam. In that text, he outlines clearly what is the supreme dharma. And in the purport to that section, Prabhupada says, actually, Vyasadeva, he should have only compiled the Srimad Bhagavatam. If you look at the word dharma itself, it comes from a verb called dri, which means to hold. Like we say Giri Dari, Krishna who holds Govardhan. Yeah. Dhritarashtra. I don't know about Dhritarashtra, but yeah, or one who usurps land is the way Prabhupada translates it. I'm not sure if it's the same thing, perhaps it is, perhaps it isn't. But this word dri means to hold. So this is where this word dharma comes from. And so what basically dharma is implying, if you have any object, what is the essence that holds that object together? That is its dharma. So like the dharma of fire is?
Heat.
The dharma of water is?
Liquidity.
liquidity. So it's in the same way the dharma of the soul is that we are servants of Krishna. So that is the essence of dharma. And that's why we see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, Naham Lipra Nacha Narapatir Napi Vesha Na Shudra. He says, I am not a Brahmin, I am not a Kshatriya, I am not a Vesha, I am not a Shudra. Naham Vani Nacha Brihapatir Navanasto Yatarva Yatirva. He explains, I am not a sannyasi, I am not a vanaprastha, I am not grihastha, I am not brahmachari. Explains Gopi Bhata Padakamaya Dhasa Dhasa Anadasa. He says, I am the eternal servant of the Lord of the Gopis, the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord of the Gopis. So, going back to the earlier point, is that Vanashram here is described as external. And so Vanashram can be practiced in many ways. People that are practicing Vanashram can be doing it with the mentality of a Kamakandi, a Gyankandi. But the essence is that one has to develop this Krishna consciousness within the Vanashram system. Hence, we have the term Daivi Vanashram. It's also explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Dabhambir Divyashastrash Vanashram Vibhagasha Swamsasya Dharmasya Samsidir Haritoshana. That the essence of the Vanashram system, the essence of any Vana or Ashram you follow, is to please Krishna. So in this context, we understand that why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were explaining that Vanashram is external is correct. Because Vanashram is more than anything, it's a social structure, it's a way that society can, different people with different natures can function together. But the essence of the Vanashram system is that one has to develop one's relationship with Krishna. Okay, I'll stop there. Does anyone have any questions, comments, corrections? Carlos, yes.
I find it really interesting why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected as external following verses that were quoted by Ramananda and the verse was actually conclusion of Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Dharma Paritya Dharmamikam Sharanam Gaja. And Mahaprabhu said it's external, so can you elaborate on this?
I think
confidential knowledge.
He says Vanashram is external. I don't think it says.
No, if you look in the verse, which is, there are two verses, 63 and 64.
Yeah, that's coming later.
Yeah. I'm sorry that I'm jumping ahead.
Yeah. See, when he refers to external, specifically, he's referring to Vanashram. What? What Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was referring to, he says, when Ramananda Roy refers to the verse Sarva Dharma Parityaja, he's not saying it's external, he's just telling him to go further.
Mm-hmm.
There's a difference.
What Chaitanya said, Eko Vaya, external. 64.
Oh, did he say that again as well? He doesn't say that in 64, I don't think. Okay, but Prabhupada translates as go ahead and say something more. So based on the translation. See, even because Bhagavad Gita has everything. It's like one of the commentaries on this verse, Sarva Dharma Parityaja, Mamikam Sharanam Raja, Aham Tvam Sarva Bhavya Muksha, Sim Master Chair. It's explained that I think someone can correct me if I'm wrong, if I remember correctly. But what Krishna is basically saying, one of the acharyas say, is that he's saying you should go to Vrindavan. Mm-hmm. He kind of paraphrases like that. But as the conversation goes on between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Roy, it goes through the different rasas, the different relationships that are there in Goloka Vrindavan, and it kind of culminates in the relationship that Krishna has with the gopis, and specifically then it culminates in the relationship that Srimati Radharani has with Krishna, and that's described as the highest. So although we see in one sense Sarva Dharma Parichaya, you know, that verse is the sum and substance of our philosophy, that is the ultimate goal, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants to go deeper. And so we see, if you contrast the scriptures, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, basically they're saying the same thing, but there's just different levels of depth. And that's why Prabhupada said the first book we read is Bhagavad Gita, then after reading Bhagavad Gita we read Srimad Bhagavatam, after reading Srimad Bhagavatam we read Chaitanya Charitamrita. So the same truth can be realized in Bhagavad Gita, but there's more depth in the other texts. And even we see, you know, even the Nashim, you know, basically Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just wants to go more and more deep. That's at least my understanding. I don't know if anyone else has any other comments on that question. What if we're anything? Larika?
Just in relation, the point about the Jnani's liberation, give an example of the satellite.
Yeah.
Has to land somewhere.
Yeah.
I was just wondering, what is the difference between Maya bodies and Brahma bodies, and what is our relationship as Vaishnavas to them?
All right, the first part of the question: what is the difference between Maya bodies and Brahma bodies? I've asked different devotees this question, and different people give me a different response. Sometimes they say there's not much, but in essence, a Mayavadi, he sees this world as Maya. Brahma Satyam Jagat Mithya. He sees Brahman as truth, but this world as Mithya, false. It has no existence. Whereas the Vaishnavas, they say that this world is real, but the way we see this world is the illusion. But they say, the Mayavadis say this entire world is just, it doesn't exist even. The Brahmavadis, they see this world as Brahman. And the key thing, I mean, there's so much you can say on this, but the key thing is that the Brahmavadis, they're not envious of Krishna. They see everything as Brahman, they even see Krishna as an aspect of Brahman, but they don't deride Krishna directly, they just have less knowledge. So hence, like, for example, the you have the example of the Kumaras, and you have the example of Sukadeva Goswami as Brahmavadis. And because they were innocent, and because they had no envy of Krishna, as soon as they came in touch with Krishna, they accepted him as supreme and took to the path of bhakti. The Mayavadis are somewhat different. When they see Krishna, they see him as none different to them. They just see him as, when they hear about Krishna's form, they take that form to be Maya. Hence it says in the Bhagavad Gita, Abhajanti Mamudam Sim Dhanam Mashitam, Krishna says that when I descend in my human form, fools deride me. And in the next verse it says, the hopes for liberation are destroyed. So sometimes we think that, you know, Mayavadis attain liberation, but according to that section, it's actually considered demoniac, the Mayavad mentality. But it's the Brahmavadis that attain the liberated platform. So I'm sure there's many personalities in between the Brahmavadi and the Mayavadi. I don't think it's black and white, but at least that's my understanding.
The big distinction enemy towards Krishna between the two.
Yeah, that's the essential. That's how I've heard Bhakti Buddha Purnaswami describe it. I think he speaks about that. Anything else? Yes.
Thanks for the class. I think that you moved many things in the class. My question is connected to the beginning with the verse. It is said that whatever austerity you do, whatever you eat, you offer results. But sometimes we might not know the results in the middle. So my question is, I have doubt about this. Sometimes I might not know the result during the activity. So whatever you do,
so like you're cooking something and...
Yes, or other things which are longer, you know. So, which take time, you know. So how can I know about the result? And then how can I... How can I give it...
If I'm understanding you properly, then because you're at least I'm getting the understanding that the question you asked is we may perform some activity and there's a result, but we may not know what the result is. Okay, let's.
Not sure about the quality of the result.
Oh, the quality of the result. Okay. Well, I mean, as devotees, we should try our best. If we're offering something to Krishna, then we should try and make sure that it's of the best quality. But also at the same time, we understand that the result is not in our hands. And Krishna says, "Kamani vadi karaste ma phaleshu kadachana." He said, our responsibility is that we do our duty, we do our service, but the result is in Krishna's hands. But see, the wonderful thing about Krishna consciousness is Krishna's more concerned about the effort we put in, the endeavor that we make, than results. You know, most people in this world are concerned about the results. You know, it's what you do that counts. It doesn't matter how much effort you put in. Like, someone may put a lot of effort into something and get a very small result. Someone else may put hardly any effort in, but because they're materially qualified, they may get a huge result. Krishna's eyes, the person who put more endeavor in is more dear to him. From someone who's materialistic, the person who got the bigger result, he's considered a better person. We also have to be careful as devotees as well that we also see the same way Krishna sees. So more than anything, Krishna's interested in the endeavor that you put into something. Hence you have many examples like, you know, the Ramayana and the spider and Hanuman. You've heard the story many times, but so like that. Is that okay? Okay, I'll stop there. Thank you for patiently listening. Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Jai Shri Prabhupada, pass me the prayer, please. Okay, so we just read the book distribution scores from yesterday. First up, we have Bhakti Alexi. Collected 7 luxury points, distributed 1 Mahabhik book for 2 book points. We have Baba Bhakti's counseling group, collection of 6 luxury points, 5 medium books distributed for 2.5 book points. Collected 33 luxury points, distributed 3 big books, 3 Mahabhik books for 9 book points. Sunil Tiger collected 49 luxury points, distributed 10 big books for 10 book points. We have the teaching group, collection of 51 luxury points, distribution of 7 medium hard books, 2 big books, 13 Mahabhik books for 31.5 book points. Collection of 146 luxury points, 5 medium books distributed, 7 medium hard books, 15 big books, 17 Mahabhik books for 55 book points. Also has scores from Krishna's community shop, 5 books distributed for 218 luxury points. So just before we recite the prayer, just see if there's any volunteers to help serve Prasad on the Mataji's side. 1, 2, 3. And Purusa. 2, 3, 4. Anyone to help clean the temple room after Prasad? Okay. Dear Sri Sri Radha Lalmanishwara, Jagannath Baladev and Subhadra.